Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.
Well, budget week is always busy for political journalists. Who knew it would be the second biggest story of this week? Let me explain.
Let me explain with Sean Defoe, a News Talk original.
Hello and welcome to Let Me Explain. Don't forget to hit subscribe and like wherever it is you are listening. It is budget week. It is that time again in October. And on this episode, we're going to do a brief run through the budget and then get to what everyone is really talking about. That is the Jim Gavin fiasco. There is a meeting not long after I'm recording this at the Fianna Fáil Parliamentary Party, which will be particularly fiery and particularly interesting. So we'll tee that up. But first, the budget. I mean, it is fascinating in itself that it has been relegated to the second biggest political story of the week, simply because Jim Gavin's explosion was kind of unprecedented and historic, but also because there's actually not a whole pile in this budget for an awful lot of people, particularly if you are your average worker. In fact, some figures today saying that you will be up to 500 euro worse off if you're a single person on a salary of 50 grand than you would have been before this budget. So look, it's going to hit hard, and I think the talking points are going to be, one, you're going to talk about the VAT on the apartment buildings and whether that is earned, why, for example, apartments that are already in the process of being built are going to get this tax break, even though they were considered viable when they started construction and obviously are underway now, and it was considered viable that the market would purchase them. But Pascal Donoghue has basically said that if they didn't give them the tax break at this point, they thought they would just sit in those apartments and not sell them and wait until they got the break. So you have that, the question over, are we going down Celtic Tiger routes now, subsidising developers, particularly when it comes to, say, cost rental income as well, and just other write-offs that they're able to claim. The second talking point, also around VAT, and that is the hospitality sector. They are getting their VAT9 tax cut. And, you know, in typical Restaurants Association of Ireland fashion, their press release was like, we welcome this, but also that it's terrible and the government is crucifying us because they're raising the minimum wage. Like, there is just no element of ever satisfied or happy. And that's not me, you know, giving out about individual cafes and restaurants that are struggling. Of course, lots of them are. Yet you just have to wonder, is it the right spend of money? Is it the right spend of taxpayers' money to say, okay, nearly 300 million this year, almost 700 million on a full year basis is going to be spent on that over the lifetime of this government? If that tax cut is kept, which I think it will be, it's going to cost around the same as the National Children's Hospital, the most expensive, biggest overrun project in the history of the state. So that's the base that you're dealing with. And also, I thought it was interesting that Pascal Dunne, who essentially went and admitted last night that this is going to hamper tax cuts in the future, that if you were hoping that after getting absolutely zero zilch in the budget this time around on your tax back and your income tax and into your pocket, don't be all that hopeful about the next few years. Because Pascal Dunne, who said in his speech, yes, if economic conditions are right, maybe we'll go back to it. But this idea that Fine Gael had and trumpeted for a long time under Leo Varadkar, that they would raise the income tax bands until you didn't start paying the higher rate of tax to 50,000 euro, that seems to be gone out the window. And having to find the money now every year to do VAT9 for hospitality, to do VAT9 for the construction of new apartments, to do VAT9 for electricity and gas as well. The only area that they looked to help people out with their gas bills, except for expanding the eligibility of the fuel allowance. That all has to come at a bigger cost next year and is baked into the figures already. So providing another pot to do more tax cuts, that's going to be difficult. So what we got used to over the last few years, where you'd end up with somewhere between sort of 600 and 1,000 euro, depending on the budget in your pocket, those days look to be unfortunately gone. And what sort of just astounds me about the whole thing, that the government has a 9.4 billion euro package here. We are not, and Paul Murphy called it an austerity budget in the Dáil. It's not an austerity budget. That's way, way over the top. But neither does really anyone come out of this feeling great. The economists say you're going to overheat the economy and you're spending way, way too much. Johnny and Joe, taxpayer, says, well, I've got absolutely nothing and I've gotten slightly poorer out of this budget. Those in social welfare feel they didn't get enough, the 10 euro rise plus the Christmas bonus, which has basically become an annual part of the budget, even if it's not an official annual part of the budget. Even with the VAT 9 for the hospitality, that's not going to kick in until July next year. So you've got 9 more months, if you are a struggling business, of having to deal with the current rates. So they've somehow managed to spend this big, massive glut of money, and even ministers were admitting, look, we're doing all this. Cost of standing still is quite a lot. There will be programs that were run in 2025 that won't be run in 2026, and that ministers were going to have to cut their cloth to measure. So, you know, all in all, a pretty muted budget, and you'd be slightly worried about where things are going economically over the next few years as a result, even though an awful lot of money is being spent. Just impressive to have that much cash to flash and yet to come out of it not really with anybody happy. You know, they say in a negotiation, two sides go in, and if both come away not that happy, it's probably a good deal. We'll wait and see whether this has been a good budget. But it was relegated very much to second all of this week when it came to the political stakes. Even when I was ringing people on Monday trying to suss out ministers and leaks and what department has what and all the rest of it, all they really wanted to talk about was Jim Gavin. And the biggest political misstep of Micheál Martin's career in picking him, in promoting him, in saying to those in Fianna Fáil, trust me, I've got this guy, he's going to be the first Fianna Fáil president since 1997 when Mary McAleese was elected. And even before all of this came out about him owing rent, to a former tenant, he wasn't performing particularly well. It was like he had tried to learn off rote answers, like he was doing the leaving cert, and Fianna Fáil had just handed him, here's what you say, and the delivery was just not there. He was a fish out of water. And looking at him, you wonder, how did this guy win 5 All-Irelands in a row with that Dublin team? Does it make these Dublin players all the more impressive? Or did we never see the real Jim Gavin? And what we saw was a man who may have a very credible and laudable and respected record of public service through the army and the GAA and everything else and the North Inner City Task Force and all of that, but could not do the basic politician things, the things that you just have to go around and run in a few elections to understand and to be good at. And one thing that fascinated me about particularly talking to ministers and Fianna Fáil ministers, but also frontbenchers in the opposition, they all thought this as a controversy and as a scandal was eminently survivable. That if you had a bit more nous and a bit more savvy, and maybe if he was better advised by Fianna Fáil, he could have survived this particular controversy. And the way you do it is you come out and you say, look, this was a particularly dark time in my life. I was under an awful lot of financial pressure. I genuinely didn't notice the money going into my account, and I was trying to pay debts with several people and juggle an awful lot of financial difficulties, as many people were during the crash. It's a stain on my record. I'm really sorry about it. I've been in contact with the tenant now, and I have repaid that money in full. And all I can say is I will learn from my mistakes. Eminently survivable. Would he have won the election? No, he wouldn't have won the election. That things were trending that way anyway. So maybe that was part of his calculus. Cut your losses and run. Given that he's not a party man through and through, maybe a Fianna Fáil politician would have stayed with it and just tried to battle it out and get through it. But eminently survivable with something like that. And a lot of people understand the human difficulties a lot of people went through during the financial crash. The bigger questions are really, I think, around Fianna Fáil, because whatever about Jim Gavin, fish out of water, wasn't prepared for the media questions, he should not have been allowed to go on to The Week in Politics with Áine Lawler with such a weak answer to that question. Oh, I'm looking into it. Several days after the story had broken, and we now know a day after the tenant himself, Niall Donald, he's the Sunday World journalist, co-host of Crime World podcast, where he's spoken pretty extensively about it. The tenant contacted them on the Saturday and said, hey, you know, you're sort of suggesting this didn't happen, that there's no records. I have records. I can show you. And at that stage, that's where you intervene. And you either make a call of, right, this is fatal. We're going to ditch this guy. We can't let him go on, which I think would have probably been a bit of an overreaction. Or you craft a better answer, like one that I've just said, and you let him go on to draw a line under this, because not being able to draw a line under it meant it was going on and on. And ultimately, as we know, Jim Gavin resigned and stepped away from the race that particular night. So I do think whoever his handlers were, whoever his advisors were, they definitely let him down in this particular election as well. So there's blame to go there. Then we look into it even more and we find out that actually there were queries and rumours about this circulating before Jim Gavin was ever confirmed as the candidate. And then you wonder, well, how was it not picked up? How did the vetting process, and this is all the things that Fianna Fáil TDs want to know the answer to, by the way, and want an inquiry over, how did the vetting process not find this out and unearth it in some way and put it to Jim Gavin? And the suggestion seems to be, this is me reading between the tea leaves of what Jack Chambers has said, of what the Taoiseach has said, without ultimately saying it. They did hear about this. They did ask Jim Gavin about this, and repeatedly he denied it and said, I have no recollection of that. I have no records of that. So that brings us back to something I put to Jack Chambers the other night. Either he genuinely didn't remember, he had buried this so far in his past that he, you know, he just closed off that bit of his life and genuinely had moved on and had skipped his mind. Seems a little unlikely when you were getting solicitor's letters, but look, I'm giving him the benefit of the doubt there. Or he misled Fianna Fáil. They seem to be pretty much the only two options. For what actually went on. And what Micheál Martin and Jack Chambers seemed to be driving at was the latter, that they asked him repeatedly, they took him on his word in the absence of maybe concrete proof, even if that concrete proof could have been provided before he went on the Week in Politics debate. And now they're very much paying the price. And look, both extremely diminished. I've spoken to a lot of people in Fianna Fáil this week. I could be proven wrong by this parliamentary party meeting that's happening in a couple of hours, and maybe there'll be much more out of it. I don't think there's any imminent threat to Micheál Martin's position. He will be the Taoiseach for the next 2 years. But if he hoped, and I always thought he did hope, to lead them into the next election and to not just ride into the merry night when he becomes Taoiseach again, that has been dealt a very serious blow. And I think there will be the likes of Jim O'Callaghan, maybe Dara O'Brien, somebody. I don't know who. I'm still not 100% clear who the front runner is, even though Jim O'Callaghan is the most mentioned to me. Will come out of the woodwork and will mount a challenge, and that someone will be successful. They are ready to move on for Micheál Martin. His top-down leadership has been very successful for them for a long time, but it is grating for the backbenchers. And to hear some of them this week talking about how they've been 6 and 7 years on the back benches and they just do not feel listened to in any way, shape or form by the Taoiseach. They feel like they're out in the cold. They're a Fianna Fáil TD in name, but in reality, decisions are made without them. That's a difficult place to be. That's a lot to put up with in your job, in any job, you know, be it a politician or not. So not only did we see the end of Jim Gavin this week, but I think ultimately, even if, you know, this is the slow death of Micheál Martin. And his leadership days are probably numbered. He will rally against that. He'll fight against that. I've no doubt that's the kind of person he is. And if there's someone who, for going into the quiet of the night, it's not him. But the pressure is on and the questions are very much being asked about his leadership and his judgment. As they should be, because this has been the biggest mistake of his political career so far. And that's saying a lot for a man who's been around the block a long time and says a lot for his record in how he's dealt with a lot of stuff. But the miscalculation here was obvious, was fundamental, and has seriously damaged the credibility of both him and his party. So we'll see what the rest of the fallout is. In terms of the campaign, Catherine Connolly versus Heather Humphreys, the two left. Well, myself and Ivan Yates are back with the Calling It podcast that you will remember from the general election. We're recording our first episode today. It's going to be out tomorrow, Thursday, the 9th of October, in the Calling It podcast feeds. And we're going to be talking through all of this, all of the Jim Gavin, what it means for the race. Is Catherine Connolly very clearly ahead? I kind of feel like she is. Can Heather Humphreys do anything? And what does this head-to-head debate, the first time we've had this head-to-head contest since the early 1970s, what's it going to look like? All of that to come on Calling It. Don't forget to go search that out, subscribe. Subscribe to Let Me Explain as well. And I will be back with you next week with some more podcasting goodness.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18+ in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.